This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, where we talk about the biggest stories from across Texas. There's an invasion on the southern border, and Senator John Cornyn's poll numbers are plummeting. I'm Brandon Waltons, and this is The Headline. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor here at Texas Scorecard, and we're going to look at some of the big stories from across the state this week. None perhaps bigger than what we saw earlier this week with some border counties announcing a state of invasion on the southern border. This announcement happened earlier this week. Kinney County leading that charge. And right now we've got Kinney County Attorney Brent Smith joining us to talk about that. Brent, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. And tell us real quick, because you're in Kinney County, you're on the border there, just outside of Del Rio. What is the situation like on the ground?
Well, you know, we're basically, like I said earlier, we're being invaded. The numbers, the drugs, the violence that's coming through is unprecedented. We have never seen anything like this. Our citizens are being shot at while driving down the road. They're finding dead bodies on the ranches. You can't go out at night. I mean, this is not a Texas or United States that we grew up in. And so the counties got together to do something. You know, Governor Abbott has done more in the history of Texas than any other governor. But at the same time, it hasn't stopped the illegal immigration that's occurring and hasn't secured our border. One thing I want to point out to your listeners that is, I think, unique about border crime is, you know, every day we have fentanyl that comes through. And out of that smuggle load, there's going to be certain people that die from overdoses. Every day we have criminal acts that occur in the United States due to illegal aliens coming through the border. All of these things are preventable with a secured border. You know, normal crime isn't always, you don't always know it's preventable. Right. But if we had a secured border, the deaths, the violence, the cartels, none of it would occur. So you can actually prevent each death that's occurring. You could prevent it. You know how to prevent it. And that's with a secure border. I think it's important to point out in Virginia, they had two illegal aliens that were arrested who were plotting a mass shooting. Luckily, by the grace of God, that they were apprehended before they could carry it out. But that's a perfect example of having a secure border prevents crime and further death. It's a unique situation compared to other crime, I believe.
And certainly we're seeing the problem, and you're seeing it up close. And this is a problem that has been ongoing, but has really, really surged in the last year and a half since President Joe Biden took office. So what is the count? What are the county's solution? What happened earlier this week?
Well, you know, the counties recognize the issue, and unfortunately the counties can't invoke the constitutional authority under Article 1 for an invasion. Only the governor can do that. So what the counties can do is they can declare that a state of invasion themselves and make a plea to the governor to follow suit and do the same. And so that's what our, you know, thinking was and our goal. You know, one is to support Abbott's ongoing efforts, but number two, to increase those efforts that would actually secure the border and stop the violence and destruction that's going on every day. So each declaration is basically a plea to the governor to declare an invasion and invoke his constitutional authority that's reserved to him to actually secure it.
And what would that mean, declaring an invasion? What does that then allow the state to do?
Well, you know, in the Constitution, whenever it was formed, the federal government gave, it's called the Guarantee Clause on Article 4. It's a constitutional mandate that the federal government must keep each state in the union free from invasion. But the founders were wise enough to know if that didn't occur, there's a backup policy on Article 1 where the states themselves could repel an invasion if Article 4 wasn't honored. And in the governor's executive order, he admits that Article 4, the covenant he calls it, is not being honored by the federal government. And so the solution of that the Constitution provides is under Article 1, the states can enforce and enact their own border protections to ensure that they are free from invasion.
And so now we're seeing these counties, Kinney County, of course, leading the charge in that, saying that, you know, hey, there is an invasion here. We need the governor to do something. What has been the response so far from the governor?
Well, so far, the governor's office, you know, they had came out with an executive order that does take some steps towards securing the border, but I believe falls short because they don't declare an invasion and invoke that constitutional authority. The directives in that order essentially will apprehend illegal aliens unlawfully in the United States and detain them and release them in Texas at a port of entry. Mm-hmm. But it's important to note that they're being released within the United States back to Border Patrol at that port of entry. So at the end of the day, you're basically capturing them in Texas and releasing them in Texas. It doesn't accomplish the goal of preventing an invasion.
Yeah, I think in the Center for New America, you had Ken Cuccinelli saying essentially the same thing. This is catch and release just now with state officials doing it. What is the call to action for folks who want to see perhaps their county and ultimately see the governor declare an invasion and actually turn and return illegal aliens back across the border?
You know, one thing great about our republic that we have and the laws that we have is local governments are very important. Mm-hmm. Local elections are important. The judge or mayor of your county where you live at can also declare an invasion. And if you want to support our cause or movement, I would suggest calling your judge or calling your mayor and getting them to also declare the same thing that Kinney County and multiple other counties have. So far, I believe 6 or 7 counties have declared an invasion, and counties are requesting it from us, the template. So we're sending it out as we speak right now. Mm-hmm. And I foresee by the end of this month, probably 25 or 30 counties also declaring an invasion.
Wow, that would certainly be a lot. Well, Brent, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, joining me now to talk a little bit more about the fallout from this border invasion declaration, as well as some other stories, is, of course, our publisher, Michael Quinn Sullivan. Thank you for gracing us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, as I noted to our friends who are here with us today, this is like when Brandon can't find anyone else.
Not at
it's
all.
Like, hey, Michael, why don't you? You know, you've not got nothing else to do. You and your dog are just sitting out there.
I don't want to abuse the privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Having you on. So you just heard the interview with Brent Smith. We were talking before we were even filming. I mean, it's a very, very interesting situation where you have this movement of folks down there who are actually living through this crisis on the border, and they're seeing it in their backyards. They're seeing it on the ranches, in their communities, and they're asking for this action to be taken. And you're not seeing the same from the governor. And so now, the counties themselves are having to kind of take the issue into their own hands.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that's always important, to put things in their context. And in this situation, the context is what we know for certain is there are somewhere between 20 and 30,000 illegal aliens a week entering our country along the Texas-South border. Those are people who have had a direct contact with law enforcement. That's where law enforcement has interacted with that person. That does not count, however, Brandon. People who, a DPS officer or someone with Texas Military Forces looking through binoculars and sees 20 or 30 people across. It doesn't count them. Mm-hmm. These are only the people someone with law enforcement or Texas Military Forces has had an interaction with. Is about somewhere between 20 and 30,000. So how many others are coming across? We don't know, but we know it's somewhere north and probably far north of 30,000. So you start talking about these numbers where you can kind of assume, 35, 40, 50,000 people a week coming across. Now imagine that you're a rancher. Now imagine you're a farmer. Now imagine you're someone who lives on the outskirts of town on a acre and a half. Imagine you're a single mom, imagine you're a widow, and you've got, 50,000 people coming across your land. I would think I was being invaded too. Mm-hmm. And yet we've got the governor, you've got the federal government all pretending like this is just a simple, these are people, jaywalking or something.
And I suppose that's to be expected, right, from the federal government. I don't think the Biden administration has made any secret about kind of their plan to not really enforce the immigration laws, right? People are being turned over. There's been a massive surge in the last year and a half. But I think the surprise for a lot of people watching this is they think, okay, well, in Texas, surely we're doing something. And they see actions, right? They see things that the governor, will go on Fox News and talk about talk about things like Operation Lone Star, or even this week, right, with his announcement that he would authorize DPS to take illegal aliens and bring them to the border, but not actually return them. And I guess the question is, why the half steps? Maybe it's a rhetorical question, but why is that how it happens?
And it's very frustrating, I think, that we see this reliance from the governor on word parsing, mm-hmm. where, you know, he hasn't actually ordered DPS and Texas military forces to take illegals, you know, to the border. Mm-hmm. He's authorize them. And that is a significant difference in the parlance of you know, both the military and law enforcement. An authorization to do a thing is not the same thing as being ordered or required to mm-hmm. do things. That's number one. Number two, the idea of to the border. You know, I think that we've seen there's so many folks around the country who are desperate for someone in the country to step up and do the right thing. So here's the governor who understands very well how to use language. And he says, I'm authorizing. And the governor doesn't lie. He always says exactly what he's doing. He says, I'm authorizing Texas personnel to take people to the border. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of the national media, a lot of the conservative incorporated types who are so eager for someone to do something mm-hmm. that they, and it's like a Rorsch test, and they throw all their hopes and dreams onto the pattern that the governor has created. And so you see this misreporting. And I would argue it leads people to this false sense of security that something's being done. We know that over the past 6 months, the governor has spent millions of dollars shipping 1,800 volunteer illegal aliens from Texas to Washington, D.C. Fantastic political stunt and photo op. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure of the efficacy of that. So at this point, it feels like the governor is moving from spending gas money taking people to D.C. to spending saving on gas money by just taking them to the Texas side of the border. Mm-hmm. Since the governor is not allowing, in the words of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, the governor is not allowing the putting of hands mm-hmm. on them to push them back across the border. He's mm-hmm. not doing that. He's not authorizing that. He's not ordering that. They're just going back down to the border where they're free to roam again, catch mm-hmm. and release.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see it. You got Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. You've had Attorney General Ken Paxton. Chip Roy, Congressman. A number of these folks that you wouldn't normally expect to be at odds with Abbott, sort of pushing him in this direction. So we'll see what he decides to do. I guess last question, real quick on that subject. What is your response to the people who say, because there's sort of a political establishment thought that, well, we can't do anything about this because we have the November election. This might hurt us against the Democrats in November if we take action on the border.
I think that elections should always be about painting contrasts. Ronald Reagan, said that, too many people want to paint in pale pastels and the American people want to mm-hmm. see bold colors. And that, it feels like a lot of the action Texas is taking at the border is just some pasteled versions of what the federal government is doing. As I talk to Democrats along the border, as we talk to folks who live down there, the Democrats on the border have a stronger view on putting an end to this invasion than the right-wing conservative, activists in Collin County up in North Texas. Because mm-hmm. These folks are living
sure.
it. And I would suggest that everything I hear coming out of South Texas is that if the state of Texas, the governor, the lieutenant governor, the legislature stepped up boldly and said, to blazes with Joe Biden and the federal government, the state of Texas is shipping these people back across the border. Mm-hmm. Sue us all you want. I think if you were to do that, you would see Republicans win South Texas by numbers you haven't seen before because mm-hmm. they're hungry for it. They want this to stop. They want to get back to their lives without threat from cartels.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pale pastels, U.S. Senator John Cornyn,
is that a nice segue? Where is that going? Okay,
has taken some heat for his bipartisan, meaning with Democrats, gun control compromise bill. Even a few weeks ago at the Republican Party of Texas convention, he was not greeted very friendly when he went to go speak. In fact, check out this clip real quick if you missed it. Well, now not only do you have that, because at the time he said, oh, well, I'm not listening to the mob and those are just a few people that are riled up. But now you actually have polling data out this week from the University of Texas.
Oh, but before it's so much more fun if you kind of put it in order, because heading into the convention, Senator Cornyn was informed by folks that, oh, you know, a lot of the convention delegates really aren't happy with you about the gun compromise you're doing with the Democrats. And Cornyn said, oh, no. It's just a small little group who don't matter to anything. And they're just little rabble rousers. And my staff, this is what he reportedly said backstage at the convention, my staff tells me that I am loved by everyone at the convention except this little small group that doesn't matter. Well, then he walks out and he's got 10,000 delegates booing the entirety of his speech. Afterwards, he walked back and said, oh, gosh, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that when your staff is comprised of people who aren't from Texas and do their best not to leave the confines of Washington, D.C., you know, maybe they don't know what's really going on. So not only was it, and later then as he left the convention, all the reporter asked him about it, he said, oh, well, that's just a mob. I don't answer to mobs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he went from, oh, well, it's a little small group of convention delegates that matter too. Well, the Republican Party of Texas is a mob and I don't listen to them. To now, you've got the University of Texas in their poll showing that John Cornyn has a 50% disapproval rate among voters. But more importantly, his approval rate is lower than Joe Biden's.
Yeah, Cornyn's approval number is coming in at 24% in this poll. Joe Biden has 35%. I mean, think of that. I mean, in these polls, you assume, okay, you probably start off with all the people in the opposite party disapproving. So, you know, you kind of start off at maybe 40% there. But then to actually have that many Republicans as well saying, no, I don't approve with you. I mean, at a certain point, you're on an island there. You upset both sides.
Yeah. John Cornyn, this is the problem with compromise. Mm-hmm. The problem with, trying to be loved by your enemies. Your enemies will never love you. Mm-hmm. The Democrats who want to make it illegal to breathe, who want conservatives to be in jail, they're not impressed with the gun compromise. They actually want to take your guns and melt them into, whatever they would melt them into. That's what a lot of Democrats want to do. So they're not impressed with Cornyn's compromise. Meanwhile, Republicans and conservatives aren't impressed with the compromise. He's made no one happy. If he would stand by his principles, whatever those might be, he would at least have the benefit of folks approving of someone who stands by their principles. And Brandon, this is why I say all the time. Mm-hmm. By and large, people are looking for folks in public office to tell them the truth and tell them the truth about what they believe and what they're going to do. If John Cornyn had run on, I'm going to make compromises with Democrats that will lead to the erosion of your Second Amendment rights. Well, he might not have got elected.
Yeah.
but at least he would have been honest, and you would have known to expect it. Instead, he runs, literally before his speech at the Republican convention, he had this, cute little song. He pays for a different one every year about himself. And in this one, it's talking about, oh, he's going to stop those gun-grabbing liberals. People are sitting there saying, does he not listen to his own PR?
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of this disapproval comes from, it's where the booing comes from, is that Mr. Cornyn has committed the worst possible offense. He hasn't told the truth to the people that he says he wants to serve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Real quick before we go, I do want to ask you about this story we had up at TexasScorecard.com this week, because I found it interesting. It was something that I had not really even thought of before, and it sort of popped up out of nowhere. You have State Representative Jared Patterson saying that he's going to propose legislation next session to ban social media use for minors, essentially raising the age. Right now, I think it's actually 13, technically, raising that to 18, citing a lot of the toxic kind of mental health effects of social media and all of this. And, you're a father. What do you think about this?
Well, I am different in the fact that my kids did not use social media to the extent that a lot of others did. And that's mainly because my lovely bride and their mom is a little more diligent about stopping those things down, I guess, than some. But they were still on it. And I think that there is, you know, to the extent that we see the mental health issues, that's absolutely true. I think study after study shows the problems associated with kids on social media is real. It is a real problem. I'm not quite so sure about the whole, you know, one more law, one more, and you get in all sorts of questions. How do you track it? How do you enforce it? Our first solution to problems should not be, let's make a law. The first, we always need to look at the family and those kind of situations. So I don't know. I think it's interesting that Jared Patterson is taking the stance. I'm going to be anxious to see what the details are.
Yeah, well, I think at the least it's an interesting conversation.
It's a great conversation, right? Evan. It's a conversation. You know, even if Jared Patterson doesn't follow the legislation, if it files and doesn't go anywhere, hopefully this sparks moms and dads talking with their kids about the dangers and pratfalls of social media. Look, if you're a parent and you don't know the password onto your kid's phone, that's a problem.
Yeah,
parents need to be much more engaged.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you haven't already, if you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead, hit like, hit subscribe, hit the bell so you can get notifications every time we're live here at Texas Scorecard with our new growing library of shows, including The Cambry Show, which premiered this week, and you can check that out on our YouTube or at texasscorecard.com. For right now, thank you for joining. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to The Headline. You can watch the premiere of The Headline on our website at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you like today's production, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen on.